Pack a small bag and come fly with me, Jim Cunningham. We're headed to Spain, Italy, and Argentina with Ravel, Elgar, and Golihoff. It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. I'm Jim Cunningham. Jean-Pascal Tortelier conducts Maurice Ravel's Rhapsody Espagnole. The music was the result of Ravel's failure to win an art student scholarship, the Prix de Rome, in 1905. He experienced a burst of creativity fueled by his freedom from academic restraint. Ravel started his Rhapsody in 1907. He began to feel distracted by all the street noise surrounding his Paris apartment. His friends offered their yacht, moored at Valvin. He accepted the offer and soon took up the life of a recluse, working quickly to complete the Rhapsody Espagnole. It was heard for the first time at the Châtelet Theatre in Paris in March of 1908. Edouard Calonne conducted. Jean-Pascal Tortelier is in a holiday mood. He is arriving on stage where he will introduce the Rhapsody Espagnole.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. And welcome back for the second half of tonight's concert. I could right away tell you that it has got very much Mediterranean flavor of this second half. You could even describe it like, two Mediterranean postcards. One sent by Maurice Ravel, that is the Spanish or the Iberian Peninsula, as I should call it, and the other one by Elgar, that is the Italian Peninsula. So we will start with the Rhapsody Espagnole. And this is Ravel. This is my beloved Ravel, who wrote originally a habanera. You all know what a habanera is. It is a rhythm that goes ta 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 ta. The whole point being the contrasting ternary and binary rhythm. You probably knew that before. And later, he met with Manuel de Falla, who said to him, "You write even more idiomatic Spanish music than Spanish composers." Well, as a matter of fact, Ravel was half Spanish. He was from the Pays Basque, which is so close, of course. And he had all this, wonderful features of Spanish music in himself, actually, and he puts it all along his music. He wrote so many of these things. French composers have written so much Spanish music. Just think of Lalo's Symphonie Espagnole or Debussy's Iberia and Chabrier's España. And there is even a piece called, I can't remember, something like Bolero or something, you know. Anyway, there we are. He decided that he was going to make a little suite of it, and he added three more pieces to the habanera. That is a prelude à la nuit, which is in itself very evocative, subtle, very elusive and suggestive. And there is also a malagueña, which is a dance from Malaga. Actually, it is a fandango, if you see what I mean. Anyway, it's a brisk dance. And finally, there is feria, which is a festival, a Spanish kind of celebration festival, which is a virtuosic piece for the whole orchestra. And within that celebration of Spanish music, you will enjoy a marvelous passage, which is given to the English horn, played by Harold Smolyar. And this piece is amazingly languorous and sensuous. This is why it was given to Harold Smolyar. Yeah.
Here is Jean-Pascal Tortelier to conduct the Rhapsody Espagnole by Maurice Ravel with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Thank you. The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jan-Pascal Tortelier, with the Rhapsody Espagnole by Maurice Ravel. We heard the Night Prelude, or Prelude à la Nuit, Malagueña, Habanera, and Feria. Jan-Pascal Tortelier began his musical career as a violinist. He made his debut with the instrument at age 14, playing with the London Philharmonic. He has recently served as guest conductor of honor with the Sao Paulo Symphony Orchestra and holds the position of principal guest conductor at the Royal Academy of Music in London. From sunny Spain, we head to the Italian Riviera for this Pittsburgh Symphony Radio broadcast of Sir Edward Elgar's overture In the South, Alassio, Opus 50. Elgar left England to vacation with his wife in November of 1903. The music you're about to hear is a direct result of Elgar's trip and all that he saw. During his excursion at Alassio, he saw a peasant shepherd standing by an old ruin and recalled the conflicts of armies in that exact spot in years past. He completed Alassio in February of 1904 when he returned to London. There is a delicious viola solo featured in Elgar's In the South, played by Pittsburgh Symphony principal violist Randolph Kelly, and heard with special pleasure by Jan-Pascal Tortelier.
Nobody is really sure where he got that lovely tune from. It sounds very, very idiomatic. Anyway, it's a little serenade. I was thinking about it, and it is very cleverly given to the viola, but it could originally be played on a mandolin. And the melody, if you know the melody and you imagine the melody being played, you know, with these little trills on a mandolin, it would be also perfect. So maybe that's where he got it from, some Italian mandolinist in a corner of a restaurant.
Alassio, or the Concert Overture In the South, was first heard in March of 1904 at London's Royal Opera House. It was played by the Halle Orchestra. Elgar conducted his own music at the premiere. Our guest conductor Jan-Pascal Tortelier will introduce Elgar's Alassio.
There is a very simple reason, actually, why we are playing this Elgar. It is because it is my favorite work by Elgar, and certainly the orchestra loves playing very much. It is simply irresistible. It has got such flair, élan, and panache. I think Elgar had decided to do a trip to the southern Europe. It is still the north of Italy, but seen from England, it's southern. You see, I love geography. And the weather was rather mediocre. Can you believe it? It was raining cats and dogs, they say in England. And as it happens, I went to the coast myself only 2 weeks ago with my dear mom, and we ventured as far as Alassio, which is the subtitle for that overture, and it was still raining. So what happened is that he went back to England and he actually wrote his overture, which is closer to a tone poem, actually, than to an overture. He wrote it in the Malvern Hills of England, but still with very much Italian influence, as you will hear. It has got a fiery start. After this brilliant opening, we reach a marvelous passage with a melody. I recommend that melody to you because, you know, that must be the most difficult thing to write as a composer. A melody which culminates fortissimo with the whole orchestra, 32 bars. This is quite something. And soon after, the music recedes into very romantic and molto amoroso passage. Music with a lot of rubato. And after that, there are still two extraordinary moments. One is when Elgar depicts some viaducts, huge bridges. There are dozens of them all along this magnificent coast, and they are beautifully depicted in music through magnificent leaps in the orchestra, brass playing, fifths down all the way, very, very powerful. And eventually, by contrast, there is a moment which is my favorite moment in the piece. It is when Randy Kelly on the viola will play a lovely little serenade.
Thank you. Thank you.
Alessio, In the South, the Concert Overture Opus 50 by Sir Edward Elgar, with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by guest conductor Jan-Pascal Tortelier. Elgar's music is influenced by poetry as much as the imagery he saw during his time in Alessio. He called it an overture, but it is in effect a symphonic poem. At the top of the score, he added two excerpts from poems by Tennyson and Lord Byron. Sir Edward Elgar was knighted 4 months after In the South premiered in July of 1904 at Buckingham Palace by King Edward VII. Jim Cunningham enjoying the journey with you from Italy and Elgar to Argentina with Osvaldo Golijov. We move from the 20th to the 21st century for Sidarius, co-commissioned by the Pittsburgh Symphony alongside 35 other orchestras in 2010. It was written to honor recently retired Henry Fogel, composed by Argentinian Osvaldo Golijov and first heard in October 2010, played by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Mei An Chen. Henry Fogel was the president of the League of American Orchestras from 2003 to 2008. He also served as orchestra manager of the New York Philharmonic, executive director of the National Symphony, and president of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. This is the first performance of Sidarius by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. However, it's not the first performance for Jan-Pascal Tortelier.
It is a long melody which goes on and on for 8 minutes, and it is accompanied by little effects of swirling strings, and it is very pleasant, atmospheric, and easy to render, I would say, and certainly enjoyable for the audience.
Jan-Pascal Tortelier, who's about to conduct Sidarius by Osvaldo Golijov, whose music synthesizes European, American, and Latin secular cultures with deep spirituality drawn from both Judaism and Christianity. Here is Jan-Pascal Tortelier to conduct Sidarius by Osvaldo Golijov.
Thank you.
You heard the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and guest conductor Jan-Pascal Tortelier. That was the premiere at Heinz Hall of Sidereus by Oswaldo Golihoff. Oswaldo Golihoff writes music for the movies. He's written for several Francis Ford Coppola films. In 2009, he worked on the film score for Coppola's Teatro. Sidereus was inspired by Galileo Galilei, who in 1610 wrote Sidereus Nuncius, or Starry Messenger. In that publication, Galileo was announcing his theory that the Earth revolved around the Sun, which resulted in his condemnation by the Catholic Church. Jim Cunningham here with the lowdown on Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. We heard plenty of low brass in this program of Ravel, Grieg, Elgar, and Golihoff, but even so, the folks at the back of the stage don't always find themselves in the spotlight. Until now. Here are Pittsburgh Symphony Principal Tuba Craig Knox, Principal Trombone Peter Sullivan, Co-Principal Trombone Rebecca Bauer-Cherian, and Principal Bass Trombone Murray Crew, with Claude Debussy's The Girl with the Flaxen Hair. The low brass of the Pittsburgh Symphony. You heard Principal Tuba Craig Knox, Principal Trombone Peter Sullivan, Co-Principal Trombone Rebecca Bauer-Cherian, and Principal Bass Trombone Murray Crew. They played Claude Debussy's The Girl with the Flaxen Hair, arranged by Pierre Baudry. It was recorded at the Carnegie Library of Homestead Music Hall in Munhall, Pennsylvania, May 25, 2007. You can find it in the CD From the Back Row on the Albany label. Earlier on Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, we heard Edvard Grieg's Concerto in A Minor featuring pianist Valentina Lisitsa, who offered two encores. We had Maurice Ravel's Rhapsody Espagnole, Elgar's Alasio in the South, Opus 50, and Sidereus by Oswaldo Golihoff. Let's travel together again soon. I'm Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to write for your free souvenir. The Pittsburgh Symphony Program Reading Light, it will fit in your wallet, it's in the shape of a credit card, and it helps with reading concert programs in low light. The radio guide includes a complete list of all the programs in the series and a color photograph of the orchestra on stage at Heinz Hall. The timpani of principal timpanist Edward Stefan, a native of Beaver County, are seen in the photograph at the back of the Heinz Hall stage. Principal horn William Caballero is immediately in front. It's in the mail if you write. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. Include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. You can visit our website at pittsburghsymphonyradio.org or send email directly, pso@wqed.org. You can hear the Pittsburgh Symphony 24 hours a day on the internet streaming Pittsburgh Concert Channel. Google it and you'll find the spot to listen now. Manfred Honeck is music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, digital production engineer and coordinating producer Brian Savar, script writing by Paula Toth, Heinz Hall recording engineer Bob Park, recording producer and editor Ricardo Schultz. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony and the members of Classical QED 89.3.
PRI, Public Radio International.